Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second scripture reading comes from Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and the words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there's nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, make wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. That commands, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. There's a story told about FDR, who often endured long receiving lines, and you've probably seen pictures of that, where the president has to receive people as they're coming in for different dinners. And FDR was doing that. He complained to his wife that no one really paid attention to anything that he said in those lines. So to each person who passed down, he decided he's going to do an experiment this time. And so as they're going down through the line, he would murmur, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." And the guest responded with, "Marvelous. Keep up the good work. We are proud of you. God bless you, sir." It was not till the end of the line, when he was greeting the ambassador from Bolivia, that the words were actually heard. And not baffled or turned at all, the ambassador leaned over and he whispered to FDR, "I'm sure she had it coming." Now, this is a shining example of the idea of listening versus hearing. And the scripture says, this Psalm 19, and actually Job says, God is still speaking. And that's one of the mottos of the United Church of Christ, God is still speaking. But the question is for us is, are we listening? Now, hearing versus listening, and if you've had any children or grandchildren, you know the difference of these two things. Hearing and listening are related words, but they're sometimes used interchangeably, but they actually hold different meanings. We know when someone is hearing but not listening, from children to spouses to customer service representatives. You hear me, but are you listening to me? I'm sure we've said that. And Webster talks about the idea of hearing as the actual function of perceiving sound, the special sense by which noises and tones are received as stimuli. So it's actually, hearing is actually the scientific, the actual thing that's happening. But hearing is the act of receiving the noises, but to listen is different. To hear something, to listen is to hear something with thoughtful attention, give consideration, listen to a plea, be alert to catch an unexpected sound. And God wants us to do the second part. God doesn't want us hearing, God wants us listening. We see this over and over in the Hebrew scriptures. The psalmist says, "Listen to God, listen, God, when I call out for help." You know, if you have ear, and Jesus says, "If you have ears to hear," meaning you heard what to go to do, go and do, and show you are listening. To illustrate the poor cost of listening, there was this lady, Diana Bonet, and she was a consultant and author, and she wrote this book called The Business of Listening. And she said there was a $100,000 error was caused by a dispatcher who routed a fleet of drivers to deliver building materials to the wrong state. The dispatcher heard the city Portland, but they weren't listening because they sent them all the way to Maine and it was supposed to go to Portland, Oregon, 3,000 miles away. And then this morning, this beautiful Psalm 19 by David really had a lot to teach us about the fact that God is still speaking. But the question, like the ambassador to Bolivia, are we more than just hearing, are we listening? In the psalm, it shares that God speaks in two different ways, two very necessary ways. In the psalm, which scholars have said, oh, these are two different psalms that they kind of put together because one's talking about nature and one's talking about the law. So they probably just combine them and put them together. But I think there actually are two voices by which God is still speaking to us. two different ways that we can get to know God differently, through nature and through the law. Now, in scholar circles, we call God showing God's self revelation. So if anybody, if you're at a party and someone says, what's the fancy word for God, you know, knowing who God is, revelation. So general revelation is this first one. It's in nature. It's called natural revelation. And it just shows how it sounds. God is creator. So that's general revelation. And we see this with rainbows or mountains. We talked in the prayer about all these different things. That when we're deeply moved by a sunset, all those kind of things are the moments where God is generally revealed to us, where we get a sense of God. And this is perfect because look around us. Look at the blue sky behind. And I know you're all not looking at me. Look, this is the general revelation. It's a very appropriate to be wearing my Aloha shirt because on Kauai, there's this beautiful thing called the Grand Canyon of the Pacific. It's Waimea Canyon. I don't know if anybody has ever seen it before, but people kept saying, oh, because I've never actually seen the Grand Canyon, America Grand Canyon. And so people kept saying, oh, you should go see the Grand Canyon of the Pacific. And Mark Twain wrote about it in one of his books. And I was like, how great can the Grand Canyon of the Pacific be? You know, come on. And so you drive up this hill where you think you're going to die, and the roads are very narrow, and there are wild boars running across the road. And you get to the top, and then you walk up these steps, and you go out, and you're just, it's beautiful. It's actually, I think there's a picture of it, if you want to come see it on my shirt later. There's a Waimea Canyon's on here somewhere. That idea of kind of sitting in awe of the greatness of God in nature is this idea of general revelation. It's when we experience nature and think to ourselves, wow, this is too amazing to be made, not to be made by someone or something, or we see God behind it. When we watch a nature show and we're stuck and blown away by an animal or a natural phenomena, this is general revelation. This is natural revelation. And the other kind is specific revelation, which is how God has chosen to reveal God's self. So through, you know, God appearing and dreams and vision and the Bible, the written word, and Jesus Christ himself. So all those are kind of specific revelations, which is different than the natural one. So that as we learn about physics and astrophysics and all the nerdy things of the macro and the micro universe and atoms and quantum mechanics and all those kind of things, that's where we kind of start to understand maybe a little bit more about, that's how we understand God in nature. And there have been some amazing books, and Michael Behe, I don't know if anybody loves, if you love this kind of stuff, he's a microbiologist, and he wrote this book called Darwin's Black Box. But it's this idea that there's intelligent design even in the smallest organisms of cells, that there's something about this design where you look at it and you say, wow, somebody must have thought of that because it just wouldn't happen naturally. And it takes the watchmaker kind of finding a watch on an island argument for the existence of God to kind of a different level. So we know the more space that has been created for God to explain how things are. And David says that every moment in this psalm, every moment, every day, nature pours out speech. And the Hebrew word there is, it's bubbling. Blah, 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 you know. Doesn't that sound nice right now to go jump in the river? Yeah. I was like, actually, I think I might go do that. But the idea of kind of like a water fountain where the water is kind of blah, 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 blubbing out. It's like all the time, like this stream of being who God is nature is always, always sending it out and always kind of rushing it forth. So we see in the original language that the heavens are a perpetual stream of proclamation. It's broadcasting 24/7, 365, 366 on a leap year. Nature is huge and diverse. It's a speaker system. It's a sound system that's declaring who God is. It's always proclaiming God's glory day after day, night after night. Since the beginning of time, there's not been one day in which a sermon about God and his glory was not preached by the universe. And as we learn more and more about the universe and its bigness, and we learn more and more about quantum and atoms and electrons and its bigness, its smallness but vastness, we understand better and better and get a little bit more of the epic portrait, epic perpetual sermon that's always being proclaimed to the glory of God. So when we're gardening or walking or we're sitting outside drinking lemonade, which also sounds nice right now, we should have the barbecue and lemonade today. We each day get a sermon in the sky by the Spirit in the sky, thanks to Norman Greenbaum, the Spirit in the sky. Okay. Yeah. That's why being out here right now, like I said, is so appropriate. I almost didn't prepare a sermon and just say, we're just going to sit here for 10 minutes. But I was like, no, I'll get fired. And I just got installed last week, you know. But listen to the water, the birds, the insects, as you're looking out over there and you see the birds zooming in and out. It's proclaiming who God is and the glory to who God is. And like we said, we've known this from personal experiences. We all have places where that speaks to us. But then there's the second thing of this psalm that's really different than the first one. I think we can get our hands on. I think we understand natural revelation. We understand, like, we go outside or whatever kind of part of nature or things speak to us. But then there's also this other side that's the voice of the law or the, you know, specific revelation. And this is sometimes harder for us to get our hands on, because when we think about rules, do we think about the Torah or the rules as being kind of telling us who God is? Does it do the same thing for us that that nature does? And I think we think of law and we think of getting in trouble or list of things we don't want to do so that we don't want to get into trouble. But the idea of Torah, that what David is talking about is Torah is not just the law. We translate it that way, but it means teaching. It means a way of kind of understanding the world. It's an explanatory matrix for how we kind of make sense of things. And so David says, not only can we find it if we go down to the ocean, we can find and understand God better, but we actually can understand God better by the teachings that come from the Hebrew scriptures and from the New Testament and all these other places. It says how great and loving a God to give us these rules that help us have such a full, beautiful life, or the way of seeing the world, of loving our neighbor and ourselves and loving God and doing all these different things also points us to who God is and our understanding of God. And that's what the law or the Torah is all about. And so it's so important that either nature or the law are just pointing to the creator and the lawgiver. If we see beauty in the design of nature, it should point our hearts to God. And when we see the law speaking into our lives in safety and security, we also do the same thing that the psalmist said. We praise God. We don't want to turn, you know, either of these things into idols. We don't want to worship nature because God created nature. And we don't want to worship rules and the law because those are just idols. But what they do is they point us to the one behind, to the great thing that's behind it that created it. It means that we can find either way, through the law or through scriptures or through nature, we can feel this connection to the divine. And there was something, and I'm glad Jacob's here so I can talk, because I feel old. I get to be the old person here. But when I was young, they didn't have radios on the iPhones, right? So you had to actually, So I had to actually listen. I listened to the radio, and there was one show that no matter where I was in the country, I could tune into and I could feel at home. And I don't know if anybody else, like, I'm a crazy romantic. I love romantic movies and things. But my favorite one was Delilah. Remember, you listen to Delilah, where and people would call in and they'd be like, you know, I miss my husband, you know, I love him so much, or I miss my wife, you know, she left me like 2 years ago, but I still miss her every day. Can you play a song for her? I just loved Delilah. And so it's like, no matter where I was, it was syndicated, you know? And so I could listen to it and I would be like, you know, this makes me feel like I'm closer to home. It makes me feel like I'm closer to things that I know, no matter where I was. And that's exactly the same thing that we have with God revealing God's self through all these different things. And no matter where we are, we can plug in these different ways into who God is. So God is still speaking through nature, through creation, and through the Torah, but are we tuned into the right station, like with Delilah? Are we tuning into the right number on our dial? But all we need to do is then go to the beach, go to the mountain, go for a hike, swim in a lake, listen to the rain, look to our dreams, read books about God, about Jesus, about our life, dive into the Bible. And then, like the great prophets, which we didn't sing this morning, but The Who, which has a great song, but I'm in tune, right in tune, and I'm going to tune right in on you. You know that song?
Yes.
Yes. All right. But if you don't, then you should Google it, because it's a good song. That's exactly what we're going to do, is tune right into God in all these things we do. Whether we're high or low, sad or happy, we're in need or overflowing with abundance, we can, like this psalm says, tune into the God channel, broadcasting the whole time on this message of love, redemption, and the power to change. God is still speaking. Are we listening or are we hearing? Amen. Amen.